I've just got a couple of things that I would like to say. One is a reminder that it is the toy service in a fortnight's time. On the notices this week, there is a list of toys that they're most in need of, just to help you if you could to buy things in advance. The donations, if you can't be here in person in a fortnight, then you can drop them off with Fiona in the office. And David has just asked me to say that he made some recordings of the service when John Wiseman was here recently. They are available in either CD or Blu-ray format, and he has them. And any donations to church in receipt for this recording would be very welcome. Thank you. So I think Mandy's just got something to say.
Thank you. I want to introduce you to the Advent book that we'd chosen for this year. It's called Lighted Windows by Margaret Silf. Daily readings, and we also are going to put it into the study groups. It blends very nicely with the study groups. So there'll be Anne's group on a Monday morning at 10 o'clock. And we think the Wednesday group is going to start meeting again at 7:30 on Zoom. If you want a copy of this book, I'm quite happy to order en masse. Even if you don't come to a study group, it's a book that is well worth reading. And it's an easy read. It's not difficult. It's not full of complex theology. You know that's not me. Anybody who knows Margaret Silf or has heard of her will know she's very reflective. She makes you think. So we're going to have to start these fairly soon. So I need to know by tomorrow if you want a book, please. I think Anne's also ordering for her group. Okay. Lighted Windows by Margaret Silf. Let's just be quiet for a moment. And I invite you all to be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
Come by, we fall in now.
It's a time to remember. And that was my mum's favourite hymn. Have you ever thought how powerful that word remember is? Last Sunday, Richard asked us to remember the good things that we as individuals had done, and then as the church had done, to bring glory to God, to spread the light. Today, let's just turn it round a little, and I ask you to think about the good things that God has given to us. The beauty of creation. How beautiful it when you look through the windows. Sitting up there last week, looking through that window, or was it this one? Which one? Because I'm small, all I could see was that beautiful tree. Golden, brown in the sunshine. It almost glowed. If you catch the autumn trees at the right moment, they're fantastic, aren't they? I love them. My sons used to laugh at me for always saying, as we drove along anywhere, "Oh, look at that tree." One of them said, "We're going to have that put on your tombstone." But I'm right, aren't I? We have been given such a beautiful world. Meister Eckhart, a medieval German theology, surmised that at the day of judgment, God will only ask us one question. Did you enjoy my creation? He went on to say that if the only prayer you ever say in the whole of your life is thank you, then that will suffice. I'm not quite sure I agree with him, but he's got a point, hasn't he? When I first became a lay worker many years ago now and was expected to go around to people, especially people who are in trouble, I said to David Reddish, the minister, "You expect me to pray with them, obviously," and I wanted to, "but give me some clues as to how I go about it." And he said, "Always start with a thank you. They will have told you, however grim the situation is, something that's good, somebody who supported them." Always start with a thank you. Never make it a list of what you want and what you hope for. Start with a thank you. So let's do just that. Let's start with a thank you. Let's pray. And so we come, Father, just as we are. Yes, with our sorrows and our worries, but first of all, with our joys. We remember and celebrate your goodness to us, the goodness we see in the wonder and beauty of creation all around us, especially for the beauty of the autumn trees right here on our doorstep, for our homes, for food on the table, for loved ones to share it with, for the fellowship of this church. We thank you for the goodness we learn about as we read of Jesus, your Son, his life, his death, his rising. The goodness we feel in the presence of your Holy Spirit here with us today to strengthen, guide, and courage. Father, we have so many things to be thankful for. We can only stand in awesome wonder. and we put our thoughts into song. Jewish rabbi Joshua Herschel said, "Much of the Bible demands can be summed up in one word: remember." When we remember something from the past, it makes it more potent in our lives today. So, for example, in the Old Testament, It's essential for the Jews that they never, ever forget God's love, even when things are at their darkest. They can find their hope and strength in remembering the Passover, when God delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. And they still celebrate it to this day. But let's bring it closer to home. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples on the eve of a new and even greater deliverance. And Jesus took bread and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." What are we doing when we take communion? Exactly what the Jews were doing, remembering a past event and bringing the strength of it into the present. Remembering it or representing it. Today, we remember those who have died in war. How do we represent that today? I was born at the end of the war, a baby boomer. I think there are quite a few other baby boomers here today. Hence, I have no memory of the last war. As I grew into my 20s and my 30s, I began to wonder what Remembrance Sunday was all about. Were we glorifying war? Was it just for the relatives who'd lost somebody? What were we doing? But by considering and remembering my family's past, could I represent it or find real meaning today in it? When I was a child, my mum and dad had a picture on their bedroom wall of a soldier, Albert Edward Brooks, my father's elder brother. I remember as a child, perhaps 8 or 9, asking Dad, "Well, who is it?" And all he would tell me was that was my brother, and I'm very proud of him. And that's his medal. And that was it. How I wish I'd asked him more. Because by the time I got really interested, there was nobody left to ask. My mum had never met him. When my father died when I was 18, the bedroom was eventually redecorated, the picture disappeared, and I completely forgot about it. But when Mum was in her 90s, early 90s, she decided that she'd put her affairs in order. And she said to me one day, "This is for you." And it was a simple box. And I thought at first, "Oh, great, I'm getting the family jewels." Not that we had any. What on earth is in it? When I opened it, there was the picture of my uncle and his medal. That's what I'm talking about. But also inside was a copy of the letter that his parents got informing them of his death. There was the last letter he ever wrote to his mum and dad. There was a notice to say that he'd been given the DCM. the notice that went in the newspaper, and a card about his medal, and all sorts of bits and bobs of memorabilia in here about my dad too, his baptism certificate. And then my mum said, your dad's sister's daughter has been in touch, and she wants to know if we want a scroll about your uncle. And I've said yes. I'd never met this person. And one day she's standing on our doorstep saying, I'm your father's sister's daughter. Will you let me in? I was a bit taken aback, to put it mildly, but of course I did. And there's the scroll. We've had it framed. But what struck me more than anything else was the words on the bottom of it. Let those who come after see to it that their name is never forgotten. And then is his name, Albert Edward Brooks, DCM, Lancashire Fusiliers. So I decided it was time I found out something about him. If you phone the War Graves Commission, they will tell you straight away where your relative is buried. And so Chris and I went to France to find the cemetery. My uncle has no grave. His name is on a plaque on a wall. We were faced with row upon row upon row of white gravestones. The gardens beautifully tended. Lots of them like that, which said at the bottom, known unto God. No name. Some of them had a name on and an age. And the ages were roughly between 18 and 24. We found my uncle's name with the rest of the Lancashire Fusiliers on a wall, on the plaque. And Chris went into the neighbouring cornfield and picked some poppies. And there we are, or there I am. Well, Chris must have put those up. I couldn't reach that high. But it's by his name. You know, I'm dim, because it was only then that I realised what DCM meant. I'd never thought about it. I wasn't interested in war or soldiers. And I assumed they'd all have one. But no, of course not. My uncle was the only one. So my father had every right to be proud of him. You're then invited to share your memories in a book. And I remember writing how sad it is that I'm the first person to come here of my family. And I really do hope that in the future others will go. There's my picture. But thinking of those words, see to it that those who come after never let his name be forgotten, I made a book. One for Skye, my granddaughter, and one for Blake. And I need to do another one, I think, for Joshua. Inside the book, it simply tells them all about him, where he came in the family, how we went to France, and all the photographs we took, many of which you've just seen. That was my way of making sure that he was never forgotten. And I've been into schools now to tell my story. it's always moving because they listen with so intently. See to it that their name is never forgotten. Later on, many years later, we went to London to see the poppies, the handmade poppies, one representing every soldier or military person who died in the war. Thinking of the ages of those soldiers, those graves that we'd seen, and seeing that, it made me realize. When we first went to those graves, my sons were 20 and 23, something like that, right in that age group. And then bang, it hits you. How these people must have suffered. It brought the events into the present. And then some words of the poet Auden struck me. To save your world, you ask this man to die. Would this man, could he see you now, ask why? To save your world, you ask this man to die. Would this man, could he see you now, ask why? My goodness, when we see what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, in Israel, in Palestine, how true those words ring. I've got one eye on the clock. It's very difficult to get it bang on 11 o'clock, but I'll try. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for all those who have offered up their lives that we might live in peace. Make us worthy of the high price they have paid. We pray today especially for the leaders of the nations, thinking of the countries of Russia and Ukraine, and particularly today of Israel and Palestine. Looking at Gaza, we see atrocities on both sides, and we feel so helpless. Strengthen the peacemakers, we pray, that those who negotiate with both sides can achieve a just settlement. Give those in authority in Israel and in Gaza an earnest desire to live alongside one another in peace, without fear. We hold before you those people in that hospital in Gaza, those babies, their mothers, their fathers. And we can only weep with them. To save your world, you ask this man to die, says Auden. Would this man, could he see you now, ask why? Please, will you stand? they shall not grow old, as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted, either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgivings for those whom we remember this day. Fulfill in them the purpose of your love, and bring us with them to your eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And an act of commitment. Let us pledge ourselves anew to the service of God and others, that we may help, encourage, and comfort others, and support those working for the relief of the needy and for the peace and welfare of the nations. And so we say together, Lord God, our Father, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all people in the cause of peace, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. Guide us by your Spirit. Give us wisdom, give us courage, give us hope, and keep us faithful, now and always. Amen. And it's not going to go back, is it, to the hymn?
God has
The opposite of to remember is to forget. And what is forgotten can never be healed or forgiven or come to terms with. Do you remember last week, those of you who were here, Richard suggested that the church in the past had put far too much emphasis on sin, so that the church had become a religion dark and foreboding. I remember going to meet a family whose, I think it was the father that I was going to do the funeral service for. Didn't know them. And I walked in, and almost the first words that the son said to me was, "We don't want any of your gloom and doom." I said, I don't do gloom and doom. I do joy and hope and peace. Never gloom and doom. But we can't ignore sin either, can we? I agree with Richard. But still we have to think about it. To remember past hurts is the only possible way of allowing our memories to be healed, and so to prevent an even greater evil. An old man was once asked, "What do you gain by praying?" "Nothing," he said. "But let me tell you what I've lost. Anger, ego, greed, depression, insecurity, and fear of death." Sometimes the answer to our prayers is not what we gain, but what we lose. And ultimately, that is the gain. But to remember is not only the opposite of to forget, it's the opposite too of dismember. To dismember a body is to take it apart. To remember it is to do what all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't do to Humpty Dumpty. They couldn't put him together again. And both those meanings of the word remember, or the opposites, lie at the very heart of the Bible. Think back to what the penitent sinner who was dying on a cross alongside Jesus said. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You can hear those words in the obvious sense, "Don't forget me." But maybe there's something more profound. "Jesus, remember me, recreate me, make me anew, put me together again in your likeness and as you always intended me to be." Is that not what the church on earth is here for? To bring us into the kingdom, damaged, dysfunctional people that we are, to be remade in his image, to be his body in the world, our lives offered to God, our lives lived thankfully and joyfully, our lives shared in the service of others. In the past, I remember several prayer days that we've had in here. And we're going to have another one, aren't we, David, next year, early next year. It began, you had to go in that corner with Thanksgiving. And all we had in there were lots of pictures of the beautiful creation. And we asked everybody to bring a flower. And they put them in various vases. And we saw this beautiful display growing between right before our eyes. Meister Eckhart would have approved. But as we came round the church, the second station that you stopped at was confession. A simple cross with poems to read. What I didn't want to do was make anybody feel guilty. And you know, standing here to make people feel guilty is the easiest thing in the world. I wanted people to come to terms with the hard things in life in a different way, in a more gentle way. I wanted to reassure people that God was just waiting for them. Like the father in the story of the prodigal son. This was one of the poems that was read.
The birch leaves are falling, Lord. Yellow diamonds on the green grass, released in the autumn wind. But I, Lord, I still clutch tight to the leaves of my old life, useless, withered, and dry. Teach me to let go of the old hurts and animosities, old troubles and grief. Teach me to release them into the wind of your spirit to be whisked away, that like a tree, I may rest a while at peace within, then grow again in spring.
There was a book in the foyer for people to put their comments in if they wanted to. This is what I read. After the day of prayer, I went back into the church and I picked up the poem about autumn. I took one line at a time and slowly thought about it. It was very revealing. It did me a lot of good. I hadn't realized I was holding on to so many things. Most of those things have stayed away from me since then. I wondered if you could have it printed in the Herald. I'm sure there are others who would appreciate those gentle words speaking to them. So I did. I got it printed in the Herald. And those of you who've read your notices will know it's printed in the notices today. When you have a quiet time, why don't you open the notices up and read it like the lady did? Don't know who it was. They might even be sitting here today for all I know. Read it line by line and let go. We're going to use the Taizé chant, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus, remember me.
remember with shame our lack of trust in you, Father. All the hurts and the pain we cling onto. All the memories that sting. We remember both the wrong that we have done and the wrong that has been done to us. Help us to let go, to be honest with you, and bring us your peace. Jesus, we remember your plea from the cross. Father, forgive them. And your promise to the dying sinner next to you. Today, you will be with me in paradise. May we know those truths for ourselves.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
We remember the promise of the presence of your Holy Spirit, that our souls may resonate with yours, your way of love become ours. Strengthen us to look at the world with your eyes of compassion, and to speak out and to act in your name. We pray before you, all who are ill, lonely, troubled, bereaved. We think in particular of Lorna and Arnold. Challenge us, Lord, to be generous in our response to people in need. Guide our footsteps to those we need to visit, we need to phone, we need to write to. We pray for this, our country, that you will give your wisdom to our leaders in seeking peace in all situations. Lord, we're weary of the arguing. Touch them with your spirit. And help us to play our part in standing up for what we believe is right. May the light of your love shine forth from this our land, from this our church, from us in person.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
I want to remind you of one more thing. At our general church meeting, I think way back in the summer, we talked about revival. Yes? Can you remember that? Yes?
Yes.
Good. You may wonder where that plan has gone. It's not gone completely quiet, because we've established a new room across there where you can go and pray. A quiet room. Those of us who meet on a Tuesday evening for the prayer group are so very, very aware of all the work that David here has done to try and get the right system in place for us to start the process. Why don't you join us on a Tuesday night? The more people who pray about this, the more successful we will be. The more we'll be able to hear what God is saying to us. Or join us on a Wednesday with Zoom. Yeah, the drum beats are beating, look. They're saying to us, come on, get ready. We're nearly ready to move and we need your help. We will do very soon. In the meantime, will you pray? Will you?
Yes.
Thank you. That's two. Will you pray?
Yes.
From now on, at the bottom of your notices, there will be a prayer for revival. And we're going to say that prayer every Sunday. It's not there today, but I'm going to invite you in a moment to stand and pray that prayer and really, really mean it. We are desperate for revival, yes?
Yes.
Look around you. You know, to be blunt, this place won't exist in 10 years' time if we last that long. It's a challenge. Please, will you stand? So we say together, Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone at Poynton Methodist Church as the church seeks revival. We ask for your guidance that give us wisdom, knowledge, and discernment. Help us to piece together the different parts of a revival process into something meaningful, which will be our part, first steps, as we aim to advance your kingdom here in Poynton. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We sing, Hear the Call of the Kingdom. Say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. If you want a book